Going to get started here. Welcome again. My name is Andrew, one of the pastors here, and just so grateful for this day. If you're new with us, we are Bible Fellowship Church. We are a place where we hope where faith and fellowship create a family. What does that mean? We hope to be the place where God intends His church to be. A lot of people grow up in different churches. Church hurt's a real word. It's a real thing. People are difficult. Sinners sin. People make mistakes, and we hope to be a place where we are free to not be perfect, but we're also encouraged to forgive one another, to love one another, to reach out, to right wrongs, to be that just safe place of Christian fellowship. So we gather every week, we sing praises, we're having an awesome baptism today. We're going to get into the message today. You guys remember about, 8 months ago, we were in Mark chapter 5. Yeah? Okay, well, we're going to jump back into Mark chapter 5. Mark, you guys know exactly what's in Mark chapter 5, right? Yeah, off the memory, because we've just been in this book so long, it's basically memorized now. Well, if you don't, this is the story where Jesus heals a man, releases him from a legion of demons. This is a man he's in the Decapolis, he's a Gentile. He's a guy who has been cast out from his society, and he's living by himself, alone, being tormented. You guys don't have to leave. We can stay in here. Okay, good. Baptism will be in just a little bit. So, okay, please bring him back. Like I said, we're not a perfect church, so... It's all good. But this guy was, he was out on his own. He's in the cliffs. He's harming himself. He's cast out. He's alone, which is one of the worst sentences that you could have from society. Right? Loneliness, isolation. Now, some people think that they want to be alone. They don't want to be bothered. But we were created for community. And we need each other. And to be rejected, to carry the weight of the shame of being isolated, to be on their own and being out there, on top of being moved by an entity that is not your own. A slave to someone else who's inhabited you, moving you, directing you, destroying you. And this man, nobody could restrain him. Right? Even it says that in verse 4, it says, no one had the strength to subdue him. He broke shackles, he broke chains, and he was crying around. Verse 6, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. And now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, send us into the pigs. Let us enter there. So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits went out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank of the sea and drowned in the sea. And the herdsmen fled and told it to the city and to the country and to the people to see what all had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and were afraid. And now they begged Jesus to leave, and he left. And the guy who was healed, verse 18 says this, is beautiful. And he was getting into the boat, and the man said to him, who had been possessed with demons, begged him that he might be with him. Jesus, let me come with you. Let me come with you. And he did not permit him, but he said, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus has done for him. And everyone marveled. Now, why am I coming back to this story? Well, I'm coming back to this story because this man's story, in a very real way, is the story of all of us who have come to faith. We may not have had the difficult thing, cast out from society, all these breaking chains, all of the exterior evidences of what this man was carrying. But all of us, biblically speaking, we're slaves to the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians chapter 2 says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, who is at work, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we, Paul saying himself included, all once lived, following the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we are dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us up with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God. Not a result of works, that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we may walk in them. Right? This is our story. All of us are born dead in our sins and trespasses. There is no such thing as a second generational Christian. You are not born in the church because, and you are not saved because your parents had faith. All of us will ultimately stand before the Lord on our own. Either we received Christ and his free gift, or we rejected him. And this is not of our own doing. We don't work for this. And like this man who was off in the cliffs, no one could subdue him, tormented day and night, he came to Jesus, kneeled down before him, and Jesus gave him a gift. Rescue. New life. And not only did he do that, he reunited him with the people that rejected him. Instead of saying, no, you come with me, he said, no, you go back to your friends and family. Be reconnected to your community and tell the story of what I've done. This is God's call for all of his people to receive, to be awakened, be given new life in Jesus, because he died on the cross for our sins. He carried that weight of our death. He went into the grave. He rose up again. He actually resurrected, and then he offers his life to us freely. And he calls all of us to tell of his grace, tell of his wonder, tell of what he's done in our life. Paul, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, personally, Acts 20:24. He says, but I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Right? Paul aligning and directing his life to spending the rest of it to speak of the grace of God in the gospel that he has received and he's become a part of. Now, I don't count my life of any value. Why? Because I have everything I need in Jesus. This life is passing away. It's broken. There are people who are hurting in need of a message that I'm going to give to them, and they're going to hurt me because I give it to them, but they still need it. So whatever the Lord calls me to, wherever he directs me, I'm going to speak and I'm going to proclaim. And that same decision Jesus asked for his people to do when they come to faith. One of those things is called baptism. What is baptism? Well, there's a lot of people who see baptism differently. I'm going to explain what we see baptism, how we view it, and then we're going to get into hearing some beautiful stories, beautiful testimonies of what God has done in the lives of his people. We believe baptism is an outward sign of an inward reality. We don't believe that the Bible teaches that being dunked underwater somehow saves us in some way or some fashion. In fact, we believe that when we're dunked underwater is a revelation of the reality that we are already saved. It is a step of obedience to our Lord and our Savior, who has called his people to be baptized. Matthew 28, 19. You guys know that passage? You should. It's the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. And what does he say? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what does he say after that? Teaching them to obey all that I command you. What's the first commandment? Baptize. Right? Acts 2. Repent, believe, and be baptized. Right, see, this is something that the Lord has called his people to, not to save them, but as a revelation that I do believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I do believe that you are my Savior, that you saved me. And I am following you through something that may seem silly to some, but I'm doing it because you've called me to. Because in John chapter 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? It is something that we're doing out of love for God. Now, what we believe, baptism is something that we do immersing ourselves. Why do we believe that? Well, because the Greek word baptizo is used in multiple places in the ancient Near East, not just in the Bible. In fact, it was most commonly used in the textile industry where people were dyeing cloth. Right, so you take a cloth, you want to have a white cloth or a linen cloth, whatever color linen is, which is not white, it's an off-white, I guess. And you take it and you want to turn it red, so you take that cloth and you baptize it in the red dye. Right, so you dip it all the way down in the red dye and you bring it back up. Actually, the same word is also used in, I think the earliest representation we have is for a recipe for pickles. You dunk them all the way in the vinegar. Right? So why do we do that? Why do we do that? Because it's a beautiful symbol of what God has really done in the life of the person who's going through it. We have been buried with Christ into baptism, right? Buried under the water. And then we have been raised up to new life in him. It is this representation of my old life dying, my old allegiance dying, my old slavery to my old slave master dying, and my resurrection up to my new slave master, my new Lord, my new life coming out. So it's a picture, it's a symbol, and it's something that God calls his people to. So we're going to see and hear testimonies. Some of people who have gone through a long road before they came to know the Lord. Very colorful, full of beautiful things that the Lord's done, full of deep darkness that the Lord's called them out of. And we hear other testimonies that are not so long, but just as beautiful. There are testimonies of people who have lived on this world for a long time, and it is no different than a person who has lived on this world for a short time and has a beautifully simple testimony. Both of those are stories of God bringing a dead man into life. And so looking forward to that. Let me pray, and then I'm going to invite our first baptism candidate up, and we're going to get into this. So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your son. We thank you that you love us, that you care for us. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Lord, I thank you for all of these people who've decided to follow you in obedience and baptism. Lord, I ask that you bless them. Lord, we'd celebrate your work. We trust you and praise you in your name. Amen.